Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. My road to permaculture that led to where I now sit before you with a microphone, a permaculture design course and teacher training certificate hanging on the wall, and diving down the road of graduate school, came about through a long and winding road. I didn't have permaculture practitioner parents, though my father could and still can build just about anything you could ask out of wood. There wasn't any conservation of materials except to save money, or worrying about the electricity from keeping the table saw running while fetching another piece of lumber and taking the time to mark it before making a cut. My mother, an accomplished cook, was as likely to tear open a box to put dinner on the table as cook from scratch. Organic didn't mean much of anything, and the closest notion to a farmer's market consisted of one roadside stand proclaiming sweet corn, $2 a dozen, for a few weeks every year. The only thing we grew were strawberries and spring onions, of which I'd eat both fresh from the garden, dirt still on them. Often, before we could get any to the table, just as my children now strip the blueberry bushes and eat them as quick as they can. Thinking back to those childhood memories, that wide rectangular patch in our garden seemed to stretch over a quarter of our urban lot, bigger than any one child could possibly eat all of, but I certainly tried. Seemed, though, is the right word, as the patch wasn't all that big. It didn't stretch over a quarter of the lot. It was maybe 100 square feet, and it's just my memory and the scale of the world through the eyes of a child making it so large. It's strange to think that those days long ago brought me here. And having listened to many of your stories through phone calls and email, I know making the transition to a more permaculture-inspired or focused life can be difficult, and there are struggles involved. Some of you are in the military, others are in college at various levels in a variety of disciplines, both undergrad, graduate, and doctoral. And there are others who are further along in life, seeking a personal change, either because you're entering into retirement or just feel that there needs to be something different in your life. So here's my story. How I went from those early days to here, the long road that was, the many years that it took, plus looking forward to provide some clarity in where each of us can go from this moment. I'm also putting this together because I promised Mr. Jones this would be out soon, and that was longer ago than I planned. Going back to those days as a child, I spent time in the outdoors, hiking, camping, climbing trees, building forts, until books and reading fantastical nonfiction and science fiction, playing video games and ultimately computers caught my attention as a teen. Though sometimes it seems that not much has changed, as I do still spend a great deal of time in front of a computer, but to different ends. No longer for leisure and discovery, but now to create and produce and share this show and all this material on permaculture. And those teenage years led to college, where computers still played a major role in my life, as I studied computer science, which I joke is really only one part science. The other part seems to be witchcraft, with a lot of prayer and hand-waving, hoping the results that we get back are those that we desire. And it was in these studies that, in my late teen years, an opportunity arose to intern at a U.S. military facility. This was still before the year 2000, so the Y2K bug left a feeling of panic in the air. Many of my fellow interns were tasked with correcting these issues and finding them within various programs. Great quantities of work waited to fix this looming problem. And as an intern, I had the fortune of being both a civilian and, as one of my coworkers would say, just above whale snot as far as the hierarchy at the facility went, which often left me the ability to go places where others would have been shooed away, or when an important conversation was being had, rather than being asked to leave, I was just kind of ignored, part of the help, if you would. So I got to hear and see a lot of things that others might not have. And with that came the overarching tone of concern from people. And then that concern turned to fear. And it became obvious that this could really be a big issue. and no one seemed to know just what would happen if this problem didn't get fixed. And that fear in the late 90s as a young adult pushed me, prodded me, and took up residence in my mind so that I became someone who was involved in disaster preparedness and primitive skills. That I could be ready so that should something happen and society did melt down, I'd be ready to step into the temperate hills of Appalachia and be okay. I could go to the woods and survive. Thankfully, though, that fantasy of a young adult quickly left. I realized how truly difficult it would be to survive in that kind of a situation. I realized the comforts that I'm fortunate enough to enjoy. I didn't want those to go away. Maybe I didn't need all the same ones, but I still liked being relatively okay, being able to turn lights on, or to light a candle, to live with some sense of security. And from that, I figured that there had to be a better way, that those comforts that I enjoy, that my compassion for my family and friends, the sense of community that I had, could be served in a way to make it through hard times, better than just going at it alone or building some secure remote compound. Working with others would form a better way. And in that process, not long before the year 2000, I found permaculture. And the design portion of permaculture wasn't what caught my attention, as before my love of computer science grew, and that's what I decided to try to do with my life, I wanted to study anthropology and sociology. It was people and social groups and, well, from within permaculture, those invisible structures that caught my attention and had value. And permaculture offered a system for designing permanent agriculture to support a permanent culture, and that in turn civilization could continue, even in the face of disaster or catastrophe. The piece I'd been looking for about how to build community and help support not only myself but also my neighbors came into focus. And then the hunt for a permaculture design course was on. At the time, there were not many being offered, and my connection to the community being very, very cursory turned up few chances where time and money aligned so that I could go. It always seemed that I had enough time in the form of vacation from my employer, but not enough money, or enough money, but not enough time. And that kind of went back and forth for a while. Also, the amount of information that was available on the internet about permaculture and courses that were available were relatively limited. But once Y2K happened, or didn't, as is more accurate, the fear of an unknown future and desire to take up permaculture faded with them. The tech boom of the late 90s and early 2000s allowed me to launch a career in information technology, to use what I learned in the classroom, and travel down a fairly secure road in my 20s. But there kept being this sneaking suspicion in the back of my mind that something wasn't quite right with the path that I was on. Permaculture kept cropping up in my reading and interest. I couldn't shake this strange word out of my head, and I'd keep looking for a PDC from time to time. And over the years, I found a few more, but continued to hit that challenge of having either time or money. From that point, we can fast forward about a decade. I found myself married in my early 30s with children. For 13 years, I'd looked for a PDC off and on. And on a whim, I decided to look again, and I found one. It was being taught about an hour away, on weekends only, over 7 months. Finally, I found a PDC that I can take. Then the phone calls began. I called Dylan Neighbor, one of the teachers. I find out what's required to register, who can take the class, are there any requirements. I think from the noise in the background, Dylan was probably at a restaurant at the time when he decided to answer my call, but was gracious enough to take the time and answer all my questions. But I found out that the deadline to register for the course wasn't too far away, especially if I wanted to take advantage of a discount that was being offered on the course, making it a little bit more affordable. The phone call went to my wife, we talk, we go back and forth, and we straighten things out and decide that yes, this is going to happen, this is the right time, and I finally take a PDC. The PDC experience was transformative, and as I sit here now recording a podcast dedicated to permaculture because I took that course, I think it's fair to say that it was also life-changing. to be in a room and to hear the stories of others, the paths that they had traveled to get to permaculture, to hear why they were there. And though many of them were more on the ground than I was when it came to farming and doing landscape work and actually doing the hands-on, there are others in the course who were not. That diversity gave us a great place to come from, to learn from one another, these different minds and different ideas that brought us all together. Here were a group of people, regardless of the circumstances that got them there, that were dedicated to building a better world with permaculture, each in their own way. And after that 7 months, we all graduated. We held those permaculture design certificates in our hands and had this future ahead of us. Graduating from the course, I started this show. And if you dig way back in the archives, way, way back to October of 2010, you can hear some of those, by the way. They're short, they're mostly written pieces that I put together, and they're rather rough compared to today. But that was my origin. That's where I started with all this. And listening through those, you can hear how much things have changed. Even listening to those first interviews with Caroline and Rico and Dylan, how much things have improved. Now, I've mentioned before that I encountered several failures to launch before getting to where I am today. And that began shortly after I started the podcast. In late 2010 and early 2011, I wanted to take my permaculture work to the next stage and start my own permaculture design business. And Dan French and I talked about this in our conversation about starting a permaculture business. For me, given the place that I'm at with a family and children and a house that we own over our heads, in order to start a business, I needed to make sure that everything was properly legal and appropriately covered. And here's where I found out over several months that to carry the proper insurance and to have a legal firm on retainer, because of the non-standard nature of permaculture as considered by the state of Pennsylvania, to do that would be prohibitively expensive for someone starting out. And I went through several different iterations of trying to lower that cost. And I don't think that that cost would be too expensive if I had started out with a bigger seed fund to get going, or if I was an already established business that had a regular income that was looking to expand. But getting off the ground, this was at the time an insurmountable hurdle. And as all this shook out, and I was talking with some permaculture leaders in the community, I talked to Jude Hobbs one day, and she invited me out to her teacher training because there were still some spaces available. So I used the last of my seed money from starting a permaculture design business to go to Oregon and take the teacher training with Jude, Andrew, and Rico. While there, I realized that technology really is a part of my gig. It's how I'm wired, having spent so many years in this arena. And knowing that, a podcast is a great way to reach people, to use those previous skills in IT and computer science, and not to throw them away, but to integrate them into my work as a permaculture practitioner. And it was kind of funny while I was out there because Jude went so far as to play a clip from one of the shows for Andrew while we were eating dinner. Here was one of my teachers. She listened to some of the shows. It was a nice inspiration for me to know that I was reaching people. And that's why it's also important in turn, because of that boost that she gave me, to make sure that I contact every listener should they call me or email me, even though it may take some time, that I do get back to you, or if you have questions to help you on your path with permaculture. But when I got back from Oregon, I took a year off to focus on some other things that were necessary for me and my family, and to figure out what the next step would be. And honestly, after taking that break, returning to the show was a bit of a fluke. But as with so much of what happened on my road to here, the idea of working with this material never left me. I really enjoy producing this show. There's that idea in career planning or life coaching or anything like that, or any of those kind of personal development programs, of the question, what would you do if you had enough money that you never had to work for wages again? And this is it. for me. I really love it, and that love of this never left. So one day, while sitting down to review website stats for my wife and a blog that she runs, I decided to check on the Permaculture Podcast and was surprised to see that more people now subscribed to the inactive show than when I had decided to take that break. The interest for this material was still there, so I looked at what worked. The reviews that people had left on iTunes, going back to see where folks had linked in from their various websites and backtracked, and saw what people were saying about what they enjoyed, what they didn't enjoy. And I brought the show back online with my first new interview, speaking to the first permaculture practitioner that I had who had gotten me involved in that PDC, Dylan Naber. And that got me back to permaculture as a mostly full-time process, as much as my schedule allows between family and school. And that also got me back to school so that I could learn more about how to communicate this material better, to teach better in the podcast environment, and so that as I go through the program that I'm in, earn these advanced degrees, that permaculture specifically and these ideas of sustainability have another credentialed voice, so that regardless of what road any of you may walk down, there's someone there to aid the people on the ground who work every day to make great change happen in the world, to lend my experience and with it kind of authority to the work that you're doing, to help make it more viable so that you can shine. And that regardless of the path that you're on, you have a chance to follow your permaculture desires, wherever it may lead, without having to walk this long road that I have. It's taken me 15 years from when I was 18 and first found permaculture to the point where I am now making this show. I don't know how much time my journey and experience can save you, but I hope that it's substantial. And for those of you who are on this road already with me, realize that with how long it took me to get here, with a path that started nearly half my life ago, that we're on this road together and we can make it happen. We can design and in turn build a better world. From here though, where do we go? For me, I'll continue to work on those credentials and share information about permaculture with the world via the podcast. My continued desire is to keep the show and main website free, both freely available as well as advertisement and commercial content free. That the podcast itself will continue to depend on donations from listeners to keep things running and make investments so that it can grow, or even something as simple to buy Skype credits to call internationally. And if you'd like to contribute, go to thepermaculturepodcast.com/support to find out how. As I continue to work on the podcast and my education, I'm also going to expand into an online PDC, which will be starting in July, for those of you who have heard about that and are interested. I'm also looking to move into producing video for release on YouTube about some of the things that we talk about so that you can see those. And the PDC is a for-profit endeavor to help support some of this other work. And I'm likely to support the YouTube videos with advertisements so that those processes can, if you will, kind of help to subsidize the podcast and the donations that so kindly come in from you. But that's me. For you, there's a couple places to start depending on where you are and what you want to do. If you're practicing permaculture in your backyard, it's not necessary to take a PDC. There are great books and online videos on the subject to get you going, and plenty of evening, one day, and weekend courses to get you more information and help you connect with the community. However, if you have the time and the money to go to a PDC, I highly recommend it. The camaraderie and connections go a long way towards having people you can bounce ideas off of, to plan with, and ask questions. And in the meantime, always feel free to reach out to me with anything that you need clarified or want to know, and I'll do what I can to help you to the best of my ability. If you want to practice permaculture professionally, especially design, before you go off to a PDC or start down that road, I recommend checking into what, if any, legal requirements you have to meet in your area and what you have to do to ensure that you're appropriately covered. You may find that additional schooling is well served to do this, or that you don't want to enter into the world of design after all because of some of those hurdles, or that you're in a place that you can easily overcome them. Once you check that out, get yourself to a PDC. The Permaculture Design course is your gateway to the world of permaculture. Ideally, you should take a PDC before you start using the word permaculture in any kind of formal work or for-profit venture. And now there are more options available than ever, including several online, including my own, as I've mentioned. But that's not meant as a plug for my work alone. There are plenty of talented people who work every day to teach permaculture, and you'll be well served by most. If in doubt, send me an email with a link to the course that you're interested in or with more information, and I can give you some feedback of what to consider before making a decision about that particular course. I don't give yes or no answers with that, because it's not my place to judge what is or is not permaculture, but rather to give you the questions to find your own answers within what's there. But once you take a PDC, if you want to teach this material professionally, go take a teacher training. This is kind of the next gateway on your path. You'll learn a lot about how to effectively teach in an informal environment, how to run workshops, and many of the other business development pieces you need to be effective, like what's an appropriate amount of money to pay for a course, what expenses are you going to need to cover before you start thinking about what profit you're going to have, if any. And the transparency of my teacher training and the open environment for answering questions helped to clear up many of the ones that I had about permaculture education, what should be included in a design course, what really are those 72-hour requirements, and what's necessary to put yourself out in the world and call yourself a permaculture teacher. And part of that is that once you have a PDC and a teacher training, even though the idea is often said to take one and teach one, it's best not to jump in with both feet immediately after getting through. You'll serve your students better if you take your time, get some more experience, observe other classes, and build your material and understanding of it and what you're going to teach and how over time. Even though it seems kind of counterintuitive to take time to get there, in the long run, you'll save yourself time and energy to make it happen. You'll give your students a better experience in the process and have more positive outcomes. But if you're not necessarily interested in design or teaching, but want to apply permaculture in other ways, as I took my background in computer science and technology and partnered it with permaculture to produce this show, what you do with permaculture is your choice. Make sure you use what you have. If you have a master's in business administration, what about doing green business consulting with a permaculture focus or applying the permaculture ethics and principles to business? Go for it. If you have a science background and want to research the efficacy of permaculture techniques in field trials, go for it. If you study communications and you want to help people express their local needs in a sustainable way using permaculture, go for it. Are you a great writer who wants to create the next revision of the designer's manual? Go for it. But if you do want to do that, contact Tagari and find out what that process would be. Don't step on anybody's toes or property in moving forward. Remember, this is about cooperation, not competition. So work together to get to those ends. And as comes from the conversation with Chuck Marsh, thinking about those early days of permaculture, talking with people like Lisa Fernandez and these other great guests that I've had on the show, it becomes more and more apparent that permaculture is more than just focusing on the design of landscape systems. We have the invisible systems to work on. There are many ways that someone with a permaculture background can meet the needs of their community beyond that traditional design and education, leaving room for many different paths under the permaculture umbrella. in a way where we can support and cooperate and grow moving forward. Whatever you choose to do, find your niche, where you fit in this big picture, and go for it. Depending on your situation, that may mean a slow climb down on the other side of the precipice, but for others, you may be able to leap and build your wings on the way down. Wherever you go, as long as I can, I'll be here with you to help and support along the way. If you need my help and support, always feel free to send me an email, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com, or call me, 717-827-6266. Until the next time, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.